In season two of The Business of Nonprofits, we'll talk to organizations taking a head-on approach to big challenges and big risk in pursuit of big rewards for their constituents. We'll unpack their strategies and see how some nonprofits are making it happen and how you can too. Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Business of Nonprofits. Today, we're speaking with Dr. John McCarthy, who is the Chief Program Officer of the Terry Campus of Life. Terry is an organization and their mission is changing the way the world sees, helps, and empowers individuals with special needs. And I want to reiterate that it's an amazing organization. And in San Diego, given the work they do, is just a hidden gem. I had never heard of this org and they really do a phenomenal job. So I'm super excited to talk to John. It was hard to get him because he's a busy man, just like most nonprofits. It seems like it's a busy time of year all year for Terry. So thank you for being here, John.
Thanks so much, Stacey. I really appreciate you having me on the show today. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk about Terry and talk about our moonshot goals, where we're going and where we came from. So thanks again for having me.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit. You're the chief program officer, and I don't usually get to talk to program people. I usually stay on the ops side, but I feel like Terry does this job, this kind of walks the line of operations are programs. So talk a little bit about the org and about your role and how you came to Terry and really what the goal is, because this is an auspicious, huge goal.
It certainly is. There's nothing small about this goal. There's nothing small about the organization either. So the organization was founded in 1980, and we'll go into a little bit more about the history of the organization, and it's grown exponentially to where we're at today. So my role as chief program officer is to oversee our core programs. So that right now includes our adult services. So that includes our 12 residential group homes, our two adult day programs. So those are our core programs that we operate amongst 20 other programs out there that we facilitate. We currently serve over 900 individuals with developmental disabilities and their families throughout San Diego County, and exponentially growing, as I said.
And there's only one of you.
There's only one of me, yes.
Like, you don't have a clone?
No. I work closely with our chief operating officer, with Cheryl, our chief executive officer, as well as the rest of our executive team to make sure that our programs are running and that they're top notch. We have a wonderful staff of directors, managers, and direct support professionals that are out there every day doing the day-to-day business of providing a quality care and quality of life to the individuals that we serve. So I have a lot of help.
So let's talk for a second, because you are building the plane while flying it in
basically
some ways, right? Your moonshot is the Terry Campus of Life. Talk about that, because we're not just talking about a new residential building or facility. This is a whole different thing.
Yes, absolutely. It's groundbreaking. It's a one-of-a-kind entity in the world today. We're actually providing a model for society and for the world to be able to serve individuals with developmental disabilities, as well as integrate them into the community in a 100% community-integrated model. So I think to really talk about the moonshot goal, I think we have to really talk about where Terry came from, but also talk about where individuals with developmental disabilities have come from within the country and in the world. So throughout history, even today in modern times, individuals with developmental disabilities have been marginalized. Society has viewed these individuals as expendable, misunderstood, stereotyped, and really serving no purpose. So as perceived burdens in the past, these individuals were housed basically like animals in institutions throughout the country. It really is a sad story. The conditions were overcrowded and dirty. The focus of these institutions was on control and isolation through the use of practices that really were less than humane. So up until the 50s and the 60s, eugenics was a common practice used on these individuals by medical professions and institutions, really to alter genetics or sterilization to attempt to improve the human race by standards back in those times. Even lobotomies were also common practice to remove parts of the brain to reduce what some would call disturbing behavior. And sadly, electroshock therapy was also used as medical practice, thought to change the chemistry of the brain to cure disabilities. All these practices obviously cause more harm than good. And thank goodness that science has evolved to where it has today to no longer implement those practices. So basically, these individuals before the disabilities rights movement didn't have basic human rights and were treated without dignity, misunderstood by science and society as a whole. So fortunately, changes in treatment of people with disabilities shifted largely, and I mentioned a little bit, due to the disabilities rights movements in the early 20th century. Institutions began to shut down. Individuals demanded rights. Self-advocacy and independence began to change the perception of care and treatment of these individuals, thankfully. Today, there's increased efforts by physicians, caregivers, legislators, and people with disabilities to work together to support an individual's well-being and really providing and making sure that these individuals have life quality. That's a basic human right that we all want as humans, and we need to ensure that our individuals with disabilities have access to that as well. So the disabilities rights movement was the catalyst for the TERRY movement. So our founder and CEO, Cheryl Kilmer, was a psychology student at the University of Michigan when she experienced really firsthand the terrible treatment of individuals with developmental disabilities. She experienced this during her fieldwork at the university. Once she experienced this, she knew that these individuals should be seen as valued and serving a purpose, and that they deserve a meaningful life of quality, and that they really do provide value to society. So a little story. Cheryl was assigned to a young girl. This young girl's name was Yvette. So Yvette was 5 years old at the time, and sad story, she sat motionless in a wooden wheelchair all day without physical stimulation and no social interaction. The one thing Cheryl noticed that really stood out about Yvette was a bald spot on the back of her head from simply sitting in her chair all day and just rubbing her head back and forth without any stimulation. Such a sad story. You know, Yvette had multiple and profound disabilities, including quadriplegia, epilepsy, cerebral palsy, and had no verbal language or ability. So her observations really had a profound effect and inspired the vision and trajectory of Cheryl's life work. So she vowed to create and implement a landmark approach to helping children with disabilities, along with mitigating the impact it has on their families. People don't realize the impact that disabilities do have on family members as well. So she was determined to change society's belief any way that she could, and to change the belief that these individuals were destined for dreadful institutions and really there was no hope for them, because there is hope. And Cheryl's proved that. So after many years of working with disabled adults and children in various organizations, you know, she broke ground on TERRY in 1980, and she established what it is today in Oceanside, California. So with our mission to change the world, the way that the world sees, helps, and empowers individuals with special needs. And really, this is just the beginning. So I would say that was probably Cheryl's first moonshot. And then here comes our next moonshot, which is the TERRY Campus of Life.
Yeah, and I think it's an amazing story, and it's absolutely timely right now. Right. I do think we are ripe for letting people be people in whatever way they're able to and capable of being part of society. And I think for those of you who are within any driving distance of the TERRY Campus of Life, I visited, it's an amazing space. And I think that's only going to get more amazing. It's a beautiful, beautiful space. And it really is about community now, right? It's not just, it's a residential home where they're kind of kept away from society. And if you're a family, you know, and you might get help. And all of that is laudable, because I know some families who do have special needs kids, and caretaking is hard. And having been a caretaker for an elder, like, it's lonely and it's stressful. You need the break, right? You need certain help that you can only get from other people who understand it. But this is a whole different level. So talk about now, right? You broke ground when? 2 years ago?
We broke ground in 2015. So we've been working since then to develop our programs and then also raise funds to build the buildings in several different phases as the campus is really coming to life. So actually in 2015, we received our first generous donation of $5 million from Charles Kono and his family, enabling construction to begin in 2015. And first constructed on the campus was our Harriet Flegler Therapeutic Equestrian Center. So if you've been to the campus, Stacey, you've probably seen the horses out there. That's a big draw. Everyone loves to come see the horses. They're beautiful. So that opened in 2015. And really, it's had a profound healing effect on our students and adults that struggle with physical, mental, and emotional challenges that come with their disabilities. Now, there's a lot of research out there about equine therapy for individuals with disabilities, and this is the perfect place to come get that therapy. So here, students from our TERRY programs and also the public participate in a range of activities with our horses, anywhere from feeding to brushing to riding. Some individuals, that is their day program, where they come and they tend to their horses' daily care every day, and they learn you know, stewardship, responsibility, and things like that. The Equestrian Center can also be rented for the public, for weddings, parties, and events as well, too. So we're really looking at how do we incorporate the entire community onto our campus and really focus on that integrated model with individuals with developmental disabilities working and living alongside everyone else in the community. You know, that really helps us show that our individuals that we serve, they have value, they serve a purpose, they are key members in society, and everyone needs to understand and see that. And the campus is the perfect spot to do that.
Absolutely. And I'm going to plug this shamelessly because we had an event actually at the Terry campus. We had a networking event and they have a wonderful coffee shop. And honestly, the food is really good. And we had gone there for coffee to meet with Dan DeSager, and that was great. But then we held a networking event and the back patio, the way it's set up, you literally are like next to the Equine Center, the Equestrian Center, and you're right there and there's a patio and it's covered and there's these beautiful lights. It's definitely a really nice vibe for those of you in Southern California looking for a kind of a unique place to have just a small event. You could have, you know, any kind of party there. It was beautiful. But talk a little bit about, you're coming up on two more buildings. What are they?
I know. Yes, we are. So before we go, let's back up really quick, Stacey. I'm sorry, but you mentioned that you like to go out there and enjoy some coffee at our Common Grounds Cafe. So that actually was our second building that was built on the campus. So if I can talk a little bit about that and kind of the experiences and the point of what that building is. So in 2021, we were able to open the Vocational Center. So formerly called, because of our generous donors, Tom and Mary Tomlinson Vocational Center, was really intended to provide access to career training and experiences not traditionally available to adults with special needs. So in 2021, Terry successfully launched what we call our VIP program. So our vocational internship program, which prepares individuals with special needs for integrated and competitive employment opportunities in culinary, agriculture, equestrian, food service, and so much more to come as the campus grows out and expands our businesses. So last year was our pilot year with that program, and the program trained and graduated 3 students who then gained integrated and competitive employment in their community and also on the campus as well, which is pretty cool. We were able to hire 2 of our interns in culinary and 1 as a barista. So maybe he made your coffee when you were there, Stacey. So this year, pretty cool. We have 8 individuals in that program now. So we've doubled the capacity of the program. And these individuals are working in culinary, agriculture, and equestrian. And as I said, every year, we're hoping to expand these services to really have individuals gain that meaningful employment out in the community. Again, with our purpose of showing the community that these individuals have value, they do contribute to society, and they do deserve to go to work and earn a paycheck just as we do, and then buy things that are value to them, right? And also in the vocational center, speaking of coffee, we have a commercial grade kitchen that produces meals sold in the center's Common Grounds Cafe and Coffee Bar, which you visited, Stacey. We have that beautiful outdoor patio out back as well. The space is open to the public for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and happy hour. We're open 7 days a week now with live entertainment some nights. And the center has various public spaces for rent as well, just as the Equestrian Center does. That can be catered by the cafe. So over the last 2 years, the center and Common Grounds Cafe has really grown into a lively entertainment hub for the entire integrated community. You can find our students, adults, and staff there daily as well, enjoying the scenery, the food, and interacting with the community.
Yeah, it was really a special space. And having done networking events at other places, it's competitive. Like, the food is good. You know, I'm a big food person. And it was lovely. Like, it was just a nice ambiance. The food was good. The staff was very helpful. It just was a great place to have a meeting or a networking event. So absolutely recommend it. You have a theater
coming soon. Yeah. So those are, as we began to talk about a little bit earlier, so currently construction of our Walter and Betty Zabel Foundation Performing Arts and Fine Arts Center is slated for completion in February 2024. So right around the corner. We're so excited to be able to have 2 new buildings on the campus, and plans include rooms and spaces, all of which will be available again to the community for use, as well as clients' integrated model. So as you mentioned, the campus will now open up a 190-plus seat theater. In there, we'll have a drama studio. We have 2 multi-sensory rooms. We have music rooms. We actually have a green room for artists that come in to be able to access and get ready for their shows. We have men's and women's dressing rooms, outdoor performance and recreation spaces. We have two large art studios, two very large craft studios. We have a ceramics studio with pottery wheels. We have a kiln. We're excited to get started on our ceramics projects and our art projects. And actually big outdoor student common areas for everyone to be able to use, including what we're calling Central Park. So Central Park is going to be a huge green area the size of a football field in the middle of the campus for special events, for parties, for festivities, celebrations, and also to be able to provide our participants excellent programming outdoors. So that's the scope for our two new buildings that will be built pretty soon. So if you haven't been out there lately, get out there and see their almost finished progress. They're looking beautiful. So all Terry adults in our day programs are going to move to these buildings in March 2024. And then we're going to have a large grand opening, which will be included. The community will be invited. I believe it's April 12th through the 14th. If that changes today, so we might have to update this, but I believe it is the 12th through the 14th for a large community event to come celebrate the opening of those brand new buildings. Our adult clients that we serve are so excited to get out there. They're going to be engaging in innovative and state-of-the-art day programming focused on quality of life, really focused on their interests, and really focused on what they choose to do. You know, we're really looking at a model of client choice and then being able to let us know what they would like their day program to look like. Is it art? Is it painting? Is it ceramics? Is it music? Is it theater? Is it community-based? Is it equestrian? Is it going to work in the kitchen? What does that look like? There's so many opportunities and options on the campus and surrounding community to be able to really provide some groundbreaking and innovative programming. And then we're also going to expand our program services to actually serve individuals that we haven't served in the past. Those individuals that might not be so much impacted by their disability, but might be able to come and take an upscale art class, or be able to come and take a culinary cooking class, or be able to learn how to become a theater pro or a theater tech. So again, with all those buildings and businesses, being able to expand our internship opportunities too, and being able to train individuals in various different fields as well.
Yeah, and I love that. I'm pretty close to the arts. I have a 14-year-old daughter who's very active in theater and tech theater. And it's a beautiful goal, is a beautiful space that's really state of the art. So just having access to that type of facility in a community it can be a game changer. And it really does open up certain types of jobs and roles. You know, certain people just love to do that type of work. And I'm really hopeful that having events there will sort of spark other people to have ideas. We have lots of corporations in San Diego, certainly a lot of biotech, right? If you see someone doing a job and you have a comparable job that might have some similar skills, I'm hopeful that other people will say, oh, if they can do this here, then they could do this there.
Absolutely. And that's really another big goal of the campus, is to be able to, you know, empower those individuals that we're offering internships to be able to go out there and gain employment in industries that might not have typically hired individuals with developmental disabilities. One of the biggest barriers to individuals getting gainful employment out there is corporations and industries that just really aren't able to or understand how to work with individuals with developmental disabilities or on the autism spectrum. It's about training those businesses and industries that, you know, these guys may have some different social abilities and different ways of seeing things, but, you know, they do have certain skills and bring gifts and bring talent to organizations. And we're hoping to show that here on the campus by training these individuals and breaking down those barriers and breaking down those stereotypes and showing corporations and industries that these guys have a value and they're going to come and they're going to do a great job for you and they're going to increase your bottom line and increase your business moving forward.
Yeah. And I love that common space in the center. They have pictures. So if you visit the campus, they actually have some drawings, architectural drawings of the buildings and what the site is going to look like at completion. And they are doing it in phases. And I was super excited in your newsletter to find out your next phase is 96% funded. So again, shameless plug, if anyone would like to close that gap with that last 4%, please raise your hand. But ultimately, it's going to be a beautiful space where individuals of all types can come together on that sort of field in the middle, right? Central Park and the community center and the performing arts center and the coffee shop, and really become a community. And I love that. I think it's so perfect because it really is about that diversity of thought. And, you know, I'm kind of harkening back to the salons and Europe, you know, in the 19th century, where different thought leaders would get together and it was all different types of people. And I really do think there's value there. And I think even for the families of individuals who might even be profoundly disabled, to see that they have value and their person is able to interact in a certain way, I think that we are there as individuals. And especially if we could get kids together, it really does something magical when kids see other kids who might be like them or maybe not like them. And it just raises the bar for all of us. So I think that's going to be tremendous. And I can't wait. I was so impressed with the space because it was thoughtful and it's beautiful. Like, it's not just a park with some buildings around it.
No, it's been thoroughly thought of and designed over the years. And it evolves through the vision that Cheryl has and the vision that we're, you know, expanding as we see the campus coming to life. And oh my gosh, we hadn't thought of that. We got to try this. We've got to put this in there. And there's all these other things that are coming to life as the campus is coming to life as well. And, you know, Stacey, you had mentioned the integrated model and parents being able to come and see their children thrive or their loved ones thrive, or being able to have larger communities come together and seeing, wow, this person is like me and this person, you know, can do this or do that. And I can do this too. And really creating that community of acceptance. And as you said, we're there. It gives me goosebumps to think that we've come so far from those days before, you know, individuals with disabilities had rights. And now you're looking at a huge campus that is designed just for them to be a beacon to the community saying, you know what, we have value. Come visit us. Come see what we do. But it's also going to be, as you mentioned before, a great resource for parents and for the community to come and find those things that they need to support their loved ones. We've already had several events on the campus that are called Gather and Grow events. So really, it's what's called a mommy and me market. So young mothers with individuals with disabilities can come together, and we have a bunch of local community vendors that support the special needs population. So those vendors are there as resources to individuals in the community to come figure out, you know, what is the right path for my son or my daughter or my loved one, and how do I get there, and what supports are out there. So again, that's a huge part of this campus, is being a community resource as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even there's some multi-generational pull potentially because of where the campus is located. Like, there's a lot of things that could happen organically and will feel tremendous, the communities that it will support and feed. And I think that's just huge. So if you had to ask listeners, if you had to put a wish out there in the world, what would it be? Because I know you guys have volunteers, you certainly have funding and donor requirements. Like, talk about what you would wish if you could get it.
I think my biggest wish would be that everyone would know about the campus. You know, I think that's, Stacey, we started out the conversation that, you know, Terry has for years kind of been this hidden gem, right? And for as much exposure as we have out in the community, I wish that everyone would know about us. I wish that everyone would know what we do and that they would come to the campus and really get a firsthand look at what we're doing out there. I can sit here and talk to you all day, but it really, you know, won't mean too much unless you actually get out there and see this campus coming to life. As you mentioned, it's set in such a beautiful, serene setting in the rolling hills of San Marcos, nestled between the 15, you know, and the 78, but yet so close to San Marcos proper, close to Cal State San Marcos, close to, you know, other places that are busy and thriving. So I just think the biggest thing I wish that our listeners would do is come visit the campus. Once you come visit the campus, spread the word about the awesome things that we're doing on the campus and invite people to come see what we're doing. Check out our website. We're constantly having events. Every weekend there's events. So just come out, whether it's to come see some live music, you know, whether it's a mommy and me market event, a community event, come out and visit. Partake in what's going on. And really, the biggest thing you need to do is embrace the fact that individuals with developmental disabilities are here with us and contributing, and learn about them. Break down those stereotypes. They're really cool individuals to hang out with and be a part of, and they bring joy to your life. So come experience some joy at the campus.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say, for people who are familiar with San Diego, I'm sure there's going to be somebody who takes umbrage with this, but I almost feel like it's a northern version of Balboa Park. That's how beautiful it is. So even if you just want to go out, have a good cup of coffee, walk around, right, get a little exercise in, get some vitamin D sunlight, it's a great space. And it is very much like UC San Marcos, which I feel like is another beautiful campus that they're really expanding. Like, it's just another beautiful public resource. And if that's all you do and you come there and you enjoy the space, that would be great. I would love that. But certainly for some of our listeners, please check out the events. And you really, really need to make a trip down there, whether it's on the way, you stop on the way to Legoland or on the way to a casino or, however, on your shot up the 15 for something in Riverside, it's worth the trip. Absolutely.
And Stacey, you bring up a really great point, not just looking at these larger, bigger community events, but definitely just stop by for a cup of coffee. A few years ago when I was writing my doctoral dissertation, I would go sit on that patio at Common Grounds Cafe every Saturday morning, grab a cup of coffee. I'd get there when they opened at 7 o'clock and the sun is just rising above the mountains there in San Marcos. So when you just feel that the warm sun on your face with that cup of coffee and there's tons of hummingbirds and succulents on the patio, it's just calming. It's such a calming space to be a part of. And the coffee's great.
Oh yeah. The coffee's phenomenal. I was shocked between that and I had a salad. It was like the best thing ever. 1,000 times better than Starbucks, definitely worth the trip. Okay. All right. So thank you, John. I know you were super, super busy and I'm so glad we could finally get together. And thank you so much for being on the show. It's tremendous.
Thank you, Stacey. Really appreciate the opportunity to be part of this today and to be able to talk about the Terry Campus of Life and what the organization is doing out there to change the world. Come check us out.
Absolutely. So listeners, you know what you need to do. If you like this episode, please share it, like it, leave a comment. Most of all, please make a trip. It's absolutely worth it. Even if all you do is look at maybe some of the buildings and how they're accessible, I think it's going to spark some ideas for those of us who are managers or own small businesses. It's absolutely a great, beautiful spot, family friendly, totally worth the trip. But as far as suggestions, or if you would like to be, a guest on this podcast, please drop us a line at podcast@tgrmc.com. One last thing, John, spell the website for me.
www.terriinc.org. So make sure it's TERIINC. Don't forget the two I's.
Excellent. And thank you so much again for being on the show. On behalf of producer Sam and I, this is the Business of Nonprofits. We hope to see you next time.
Hello, my name is Tiffany Rosick, CEO of TGR Management Consulting. Volunteerism is a core value of ours at TGR. In fact, it's something each and every one of our team members have demonstrated prior to being hired. Because we all believe all humans want to be part of something bigger than themselves. And together, we are better.